Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In Acts the 25th and 26th chapter, we have the record of the appearance of the Apostle Paul before Festus and Agrippa, and the sermon that Paul preached to Agrippa as he made his defense against the Jewish charges that had been leveled against him. And in this record we have Agrippa saying, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." He said this after he had had the rare privilege of hearing the gospel preached by Paul. He is simply admitting that it would not take very much more to convince him that he too needed to be a Christian. And this is very likely the same situation of many people today, that is, almost, but not altogether, persuaded to be a Christian. Dear listener, it's a sad thing when a person has the opportunity to become a child of God and for whatever reason or excuse refuses to do so. Those who live and die outside of Christ suffer a threefold loss. They suffer the loss of the best life one can live on earth. They suffer the loss of heaven being prohibited from entrance therein. They suffer the torment of an eternal hell because of their rebellion against God. And in view of this, we're made to wonder why Agrippa, in fact anyone, would not become a Christian. Who was Agrippa? According to Acts 25 and verse 13, he was a king. His territory of rule was east and northeast of the Sea of Galilee. He was of Idumean origin, a member of the Herod family, a very important family in New Testament events. This family, although not Jews, had adopted the Jewish religion, or at least appeared so. There was a political party called the Herodians that was strongly nationalistic that supported the Herod family. These supporters hoped for independence from Rome through this family. Actually, the Herod family ruled by the appointments from Rome. The Herod family had been very antagonistic against Christianity. Agrippa's aunt, named Herodias, was the adulteress that condemned John the Baptist. His uncle, Herod Antipas, had ordered the beheading of John and was the one before whom Jesus stood and suffered humiliation. His father, Herod Agrippa I, killed James to please the Jews and had Peter imprisoned for the same reason. And this Herod died suddenly while allowing himself to be praised as a god. It was his great-grandfather, Herod the Great, who was extremely ruthless and bloodthirsty, that he caused the slaughter of infants in Bethlehem area at the time of the birth of Christ. He had two sisters that were hardly commendable. One of them, Drusilla, was married to Felix, who sought to get Paul to bribe him to obtain his release. The other sister, Bernice, was oft married and was stronger suspected of living in an incestuous relationship with Agrippa, even when Paul preached to him. And she was present at the time Paul was before Agrippa. So their record in upholding righteousness was not good at all. Nominally, they held to the Jewish laws, but they were wicked, immoral, and a bloody people. They upheld the Jews' religion in name only, more for political reasons than any other. Therefore, they were bitterly opposed to the way of Christ. Well, what did Agrippa know about Christ? Before one can be a Christian, he must hear. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. Hearing precedes faith and obedience. Agrippa could have known much about Christ, however, from three sources. One, he knew of him through Old Testament prophets. Paul said, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." This meant that he could know that a Messiah was promised, that he would be born of a virgin, that he would be of the house of David, that he would be born in Bethlehem, that he would suffer and die and be entombed but raised from the dead. He could know that he would ascend into heaven and would be made King of Kings, and he could come again and would come again. All these things are mentioned in the Old Testament prophecy concerning the Savior from Abraham's seed. Not only could Agrippa know these things, Paul said he knew them and he believed them. He could know of Christ also because of Christ's own ministry and his own fame. Scripture says, "For the king knoweth of these things before whom I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. The life and the works and the teachings of Jesus were widely heralded throughout the entire Palestine area and other areas as well. His fame had spread rapidly. Multitudes knew of him and followed him. This was not a secret mission of Jesus. Agrippa knew all about it. He could know that Jesus fulfilled the prophecies of which the prophets had spoken. And he could also know of Christ from Paul's teaching. Paul preached Jesus to this man. This is why Paul was compelled to stand before him. Paul was a prisoner brought to Caesarea from Jerusalem because of Jewish accusations relating to his preaching. He had not been sentenced, only accused. He had violated no Roman law, only Jewish custom. Felix had tried him and found him guiltless. Festus held him because Paul refused to be tried before the Jews. And to escape certain death at the hands of the Jews, Paul had appealed unto Caesar as a Roman citizen. And Agrippa was visiting Festus, and they discussed Paul's case. Agrippa asked to hear Paul. There was the need to find some reasonable accusation to level against Paul. Paul's defense before Agrippa was mostly, however, a proclamation of Jesus as the Christ, just as Jesus had warned. The apostles would stand before royalty and the poor, and Paul did both. When Paul had opportunity to speak, he related how he once opposed the faith of Christ, just like Agrippa. He told of his conversion and how he turned from a persecutor to a preacher, and it was for his preaching that he had been seized. He said, "For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me." But he cited that he only preached what Moses had said should come. "Having therefore obtained help from God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he would be the first that should rise from the dead and show light unto the people and the Gentiles." You see, what Paul preached was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Now, when Festus heard this sermon, he accused Paul of going mad because of his much learning. No doubt some do get so much so-called education that they lose their sense, but such was not Paul's case. Paul knew that Agrippa understood just exactly what was being taught, and he knew it was true. Agrippa knew what he needed to know, and more, in order for him to believe in Christ. He knew from the prophets. He knew from the ministry of Christ. He knew from Paul's teaching. But Paul never told this man to be baptized. And why not? In every conversion example in the New Testament, the people were told to be baptized. But not here. And this is because Agrippa never reached that point. He left the room unwilling to inquire further. Others who heard the word believed it, had asked what to do to be saved. This man did not show that much concern. He knew the truth. He believed it, but would go no further. Paul even tried to persuade him. He said, "I would to God that not only thou, but all that hear me this day were both almost, not almost, but altogether such as I am, except for these bonds." Agrippa later admitted to Paul that Paul had taught him correctly. Acts 20. Why did Agrippa turn away? Why did he not believe enough to act? Was it because it would demand too much of a change of his life? Some refused to obey for that reason. Was it his pride? After all, he was a king. Should he obey what was taught by a prisoner? Pride keeps many people from obeying the gospel. Was he just too steeped in sin and liked it too much to repent? Well, this could be. Possibly it was the pressure of his family, some of whom were present, that kept him from obeying. There's no indication that he was too shy. We might speculate for hours as to the specific reasons or reason that he walked out and turned his back on the only way of salvation anybody has. He said he was almost persuaded, but what a difference between almost and altogether. And since he did refuse, he will face God in judgment out of Christ. There is no salvation out of Christ. Acts 4 and verse 12. He had the opportunity, but he let it pass. He is responsible before God, and he heard the word. He will be weighed in the balance and found wanting. It really does not matter anymore why he did not obey and be saved. Whatever might have been the reasons or excuses, the fact remains that he died lost and must face God's wrath. What a shame! He could have been saved. He almost was, but not altogether. But was Agrippa any different from many today? There be those who have heard, but continue to reject Christ. Somehow, in spite of all the truth they know about God's love and mercy and the sacrifice of Christ, they manage to say no to the Savior. Some are almost convinced, and they are responsible before God, just like Agrippa. Some have had many opportunities, just like Agrippa. Many have let their opportunities go by, just like Agrippa. What can be justly said of Agrippa may well be justly said of some others who live now, almost, but lost. Do you ever wonder what a lost man would give to have one more hour, such as many have right now, that is, an opportunity to obey Christ? Do you suppose they would take advantage of it? How much would Agrippa give now for a repeat of the scene when Paul stood before him? The lost would give 10,000 worlds for just one more invitation song. Do you suppose Agrippa still thinks his reasons for not becoming a Christian are valid? Do you really think he's made a good bargain to hold on to his excuses and suffer an eternal hell for doing so? And friend, we can see the folly of Agrippa. Why can't we see the folly today? For those who have the door open before him, who are being urged to enter in, but will not come. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.